Welcome to episode 3 of the Editor's Weekly Podcast of Gaming Insurrection. This is Editor Lindsay Mosley, and I'm actually joined by a special guest this week. Same guest from last week, but he's still special, Jamie Mosley, my partner in crime. What's up, Jamie?
Yo, yo. What's up?
Yeah, this week we're talking about the Sega Dreamcast, because if you're following along, the anniversary of the Dreamcast is on 9/9/09, which will mark 10 years of Sega's last console entry. And, you know, we're big fans of the Sega Dreamcast, so we're talking about it this week. We both have previously, before we were together, owned a Dreamcast, and really both appreciated the Dreamcast. So, I mean, I love my Dreamcast. It still works. I mean, sometimes we might have a few little disc read problems, but it still works. And from time to time, I boot it up and play some games, mostly Marvel vs. Capcom 2 or Soul Calibur. Sometimes we play Soul Calibur on there, but we might play that on 360. Just so we don't have to boot up the Dreamcast. Even sometimes we play Crazy Taxi still and Vampire Chronicles. But mostly, I mean, we play it from time to time, but we try to keep it under wraps just because it's getting up there in age and, you know, I don't want to be using the system as much. So, we're here to laud the Dreamcast. So, how do you feel about Dreamcast, Jamie?
I felt that the Dreamcast, for its time, and even now, it's probably one of the best systems to ever put out. It had a wide selection of fighting games, which is what I love. I did like the marketing strategy that they used with it, with the logos and how they introduced commercials. I thought that overall, it was a great system. It was one of the first systems that didn't have such a long load time in its gameplay. So I give it 2 thumbs up for it. They did a great job. Wish they kept putting out more.
Yeah, I love Dreamcast. It was one of my favorite systems. Like, I was a little late to the party, but because I bought my Dreamcast on March 30th, 2001. I remember that because I still have some of my Crazy Taxi files from the original, like in the Crazy Box section, where I beat it and then, like, saved, and it kept the date on there, and I just didn't go back and do any saving with it again. Like, I didn't beat the record or anything. And I remember saving up my money to go get one because I had decided I'm going to get a Dreamcast. I'm going to get it. And at the time, I was traveling around and playing Marvel vs. Capcom 2. And that was the version to have. Like, that was the version at home. It was on nothing else except, you know, it was not out on any other home versions at the time. And it was arcade perfect. So I was like, you know, I gotta get one of these. And I love Crazy Taxi. So that way it was natural for me to go in and get a Dreamcast. I wound up getting the system, VMU. I got a black VMU, Crazy Taxi, Marvel vs. Capcom 2, and Capcom vs. SNK. And I think I may have spent maybe $175 because I saved up my money from working during spring break earlier in the month. I was still in college. So I saved up my little money and I went and bought it. And I remember taking it home and hooking it up, and I was so thrilled. I was happy with it. Probably the best system I've ever bought, I think.
Yeah, I mean, one of the main reasons I went and got it was Marvel Super Heroes versus Capcom, the original. I remember going to a friend of mine's house. We sit down the first day it came out.
You mean MVC?
Yes.
Oh, Marvel vs. Capcom, the first Marvel vs. Capcom. Yes. Okay.
And we spent literally 5 hours just playing, just in versus. And we're amazed that art style was just like being in the arcade. So you got the big screen TV right there. You got surround sounds playing exactly like it's an arcade and everything. Couldn't help but enjoy yourself. So I have to say that it was thumbs up to Capcom on that one, and to Sega for putting out a really good system. I just wish they could have kept their marketing strategy up, kept going with it. I think that was one of the downfalls of them.
Yeah, I didn't understand what. Maybe I'm just a little slow, but I was like, why be scared of PS2? Like, they bragged about the emotion engine, and I remember this. They bragged about the emotion engine, and it was going to revolutionize the way games are played and the way games look. And, you know, I'm still not impressed. Like, I'm sitting there looking at the PS3, and it's like, okay. Like, I'd rather play a Dreamcast than play a PS3 right now. And, I mean, I have a lot of games on PS2, but it's still not, like, it doesn't compare to playing stuff on Dreamcast. Even with the whack controller that came with the Dreamcast. I mean, it just, I'd rather play stuff on Dreamcast, even though it looks horrible. You know, it's, most of it doesn't hold up very well these days. I mean, I didn't understand why Sega got scared. I know it was costing a lot of money. Production was real, the cost of production was real high for Dreamcast, and GD-ROM piracy was, you know, through the roof and all. But at the same time, I'm like, Sega, y'all should have stood y'all ground. Y'all had the superior system, compared to that first mess that came out with the PS2. I mean, Tekken Tag, that was pretty hot. I'll give them that. Tekken Tag was pretty hot. Ridge Racer 5 wasn't all that great. It really wasn't. I mean, it was okay, but it wasn't that great. So, I don't understand what Sega was all worried about. I mean, I think Sega jumped the gun on getting rid of the Dreamcast, and they paid for that, because Sega's now a shell of what it once was. I think.
Don't get me wrong. Sega's still making a lot of money on every system out there that's working. Sega's got something big on every single one of them. They're always producing stuff. But I think that with the Dreamcast, I think they had a set budget of what they wanted to use for the system. And after they blew past that budget, that was it. They didn't care about anything else. I personally thought that, you know, the Dreamcast was far superior compared to the PS2 because, one, Sony said that crap about 2D fighters won't look good on our system.
Yeah, that was stupid. I was like, Sony, what the hell? Seriously, come on now. I mean, you know what, Sony? Y'all stupid. Like, that's not even cool. 2D fighters still make money these days. They still make money. It's not like they're, you know, falling off the face of the earth.
I noticed that as more and more players were using 2D fighters for their Dreamcast, Sony all of a sudden started having 2D fighters.
Yeah. All of a sudden, it was this push to get back to that.
We gotta get more 2D fighters to make it look good and everything. They tried to even go 3D since Dreamcast obviously had 3D fighters. So, yeah. PlayStation already had 3D fighters, so it's like, we got to one-up you. We got to make our graphics look much better. So, but as an overall gameplay, most of the fighters I play beyond the Dreamcast, they're just better in gameplay-wise.
What do you play on Dreamcast?
On the Dreamcast, I play Marvel vs. Capcom, Marvel vs. Capcom 2. I play Street Fighter 3 Third Strike. I play Power Stone 2.
Yeah.
Gunbird.
Yeah.
Let me think. What else did I... What was the last thing I played on Dreamcast? Oh! The Resident Evils. Resident Evil 3. Nemesis. I played that on a Dreamcast, which I thought was pretty good.
Did you play Code Veronica?
I did not play Code Veronica because I didn't like the storyline of Code Veronica. That's the only reason why I didn't play Cove Verona. Mostly, I did play Blue Stinger, which was a Resident Evil clone.
Yeah, I've heard about Blue Stinger. They've got a copy of it down at Software Seconds in Columbia that it never seems to get sold.
No one knows about Blue Stinger.
I remember they had a game called July. It was a shooter, I think. It was a shoot 'em up. Mm-hmm. I think July was. Ikaruga was pretty decent.
Oh, that was a favorite game. That was one of the best games they said that was on the Dreamcast.
Yeah. Just about every port of the 2D fighters that came out at the time on Dreamcast were, like, top-notch.
They were all arcade-perfect, or if not arcade-perfect, they were very, very, very close.
Very close. Very.
Oh, and I played Mortal Kombat 4 Gold.
Oh, God. I'm sorry.
Well, Cyrex and Katana are kind of broken on that game, so.
That game was awful on, it was so glitchy and bugged out, it was ridiculous. It was like nobody bothered to test that.
But the only person you can play with was Katana. You can go through the game with Breeze.
Yeah. Yeah, I learned that pretty quickly. I liked playing the 2D fighters a lot on there. Stuff like, I don't know, I imported a lot on Dreamcast, and I bought me a Green Goblin for like $75, just to play my 2D fighters. But I imported a lot of stuff. Like, I imported Vampire Chronicles, because I think I got that, somebody gave that to me for my birthday. And I got Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo for matching service. That's pretty good too. That's real good, considering Super Turbo has never come home. Like, not, it has since then, but at the time it had not come home. So it was one of the few Street Fighter releases that was not ported to a home version. But yeah, I mean, stuff like that. Like, I imported, I know it's really bad, but I imported a DDR Club Mix. It was really bad. It's really, really bad. The time is really off, but that, I got second mix in Club Mix, which is rare. It's very rare. On Dreamcast it is. I'm trying to think, what else have I imported? Because I also have a DCX to play most of the stuff. I don't know. I think that was all I imported. I have an American version of Project Justice, and I have a Japanese version of Project Justice. Somebody gave me those too. Also, I have Guilty Gear X. I like Guilty Gear X. That was the original version of Guilty Gear X. Another friend of mine, same friend of mine that gave me like all my games, he gave me that. And it was really good. Got me into the Guilty Gear series, actually. I'm looking at my collection right now, and I've got Typing of the Dead, Marvel vs. Capcom 2, which is an original copy and sells for, like, it was $50 when I bought it. Street Fighter 3 Third Strike. I have Crazy Taxi 2, which was interesting. We have the Dreamcast version of Street Fighter Alpha 3. We also have that on PlayStation. I prefer the PlayStation version, actually, and I know, Jamie, you like the Dreamcast version a little bit better, but I don't know, having started with the PlayStation version, and then having played the Dreamcast version, I prefer the PlayStation version, because it was most like the arcade, I thought. I didn't like the extra isms you could get in World Tour mode too much, and I didn't like that you could, they changed the level cap too, and they added some fights, but because, I mean, that's what I played, so, the original version was what I played a lot. I'm trying to see, what else do I have import here? And if you're gonna import, you do need a DCX, or you need a GameShark Lite. Those two work best. The DCX, I've come to rely on a lot for certain games. And I use the Game Shark for, like, Street Fighter if I really want to just mess around against the computer. Trying to think. Oh, we have a copy of Star Gladiator. We imported that, too. I even have Web Browser 2.0. I have Legacy of Kain Soul Reaver. Tony Hawk Pro Skater. Let me see what else. I got a lot of stuff in here. I got Hoyle Casino. NBA 2K1. Not that I particularly advocate piracy, but I have Sonic Adventure 2. And Shenmue. I have all the discs of Shenmue. Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of stuff in our Dreamcast collection. Oh, we even got Choo Choo Rocket. Because we had a version of Choo Choo Rocket where the music didn't quite work very well. But yeah, I imported a lot of stuff once Jamie and I got together. But before that, I had maybe DDR, and I had Super Turbo before that. But I mean, I like importing games on Dreamcast. It's one of the easiest systems to play imports on, actually, if you know what you're doing. I don't know, do you like playing imports too much on there?
I like the imports only in the fighting games, mainly Vampire Chronicles. I love that.
That's real good.
Yeah, only because it was games that we couldn't get here. I know they were great fighters. They've been perfect in the arcade, one of the places that you could find them in the arcade, some games. And then the only way you can get them was just to have to import them. So I think it was a good mix.
Yeah, what I liked about Vampire Chronicles, for the uninitiated who've never actually played that, because there's something kind of, sort of, similar to Street Fighter Alpha Collection, which is also a very good buy. You need to go out and buy that right now on PlayStation 2. Vampire Chronicles is, you can pick any of the four or five styles, I think. Vampire, Vampire Hunter, Vampire Hunter 2, Vampire Savior, Vampire Savior 2. You can pick from any of those styles, and you can pick your character, and they'll play in that style. It's not the collection of games. There is, however, a Vampire Collection on PS2 that has the individual games, similar to Street Fighter Alpha Collection on PS2. So, but I like Vampire Chronicles because it plays a lot like Savior. If you've played Savior on Sega Saturn, which was quite possibly the best version, it plays a lot like that, except you can pick your different styles. So, I was highly impressed with that. I thought that was a great buy. And I really enjoy playing Vampire. Once they moved past the first Vampire, once they got to Vampire Hunter, it was actually pretty good. Oh, and for you non-Japanese initiated players out there, that would be Darkstalkers in America, just in case y'all didn't know that. But yeah, I liked playing a lot of the different games. They had a variety of games on the Dreamcast, and that's what I liked about the system. I thought it was very widespread what you could get into.
Yeah, it was very widespread. They had a wide blend of games, they had different kind of games for everyone. I did notice that they did push a lot of fighters and a lot of shooters. Not necessarily like shooters, like action shooters and anything. It was a lot of games like 1942.
Yeah.
Any of those arcade classes on there. Namco always got to have their hands in the pie, so you always seen a Pac-Man game running around on there.
That's true. Yeah.
So everyone else jumped in. It was like all the developers say, hey, this system is really easy to design games for. We can go ahead and develop this. We'll throw it on there. It'll look perfect. It'll play great. We won't think anything else about it. What's that, Sony? You want us to do the same thing? Now we got a plot and plan. We got to figure out how we're going to do this. Let's see if we can get this in here with minimum load time. Oh, yeah? Now let's pause right here for the save spot and add more load time.
PS2 was notoriously difficult to develop for, as is PS3. But Dreamcast, yeah, I've read Dreamcast was extremely easy to develop for. And so that's why you got a lot of really good translations. Oh, there's some crap games on there. But I remember specifically being waiting for, because we kept seeing this pop up in the charts. Oh No, which was weird. I was like, what the hell is Oh No? I remember laughing so hard the first time I saw that. And Samba de Amigo, or Amiga, I can't remember. I didn't really play it a whole lot, but it looked fun with the little monkey and the maracas. It looked really fun.
Yes. Yes, it looked fun. I never got to play it, though.
They would do well if they actually released that on Wii. I think they have, haven't they?
I'm not sure.
I remember them saying something about it coming out, and then I heard nothing else about it. And I was like, what? That's the perfect system to put it on. You got motion controls, people. But another one we like to play, Typing of the Dead. Typing of the Dead is just weird as hell. It's weird. But it's fun. You like type to kill zombies. And basically all it did was take House of the Dead 2 and swap out the guns for keyboards. And, you know, you put in codes and go through the game like God hands, which is unbelievable. When you're typing on the Sega, official Sega Dreamcast keyboard, which I have. I looked up and found one of those at an EB many ages ago for like $13. It was in the bargain bin. And I was like, what? I need one of these. So I can stop using my mama's keyboard. Trying to think, what else? What other accessories do we have for Dreamcast? I know we've got converters, which I love. Converters are the greatest thing ever made for Dreamcast, because you can use your PS2 controller. Yeah, I got a six button turbo controller specifically for Marvel vs. Capcom 2, because I couldn't play it on the original Dreamcast pad. That thing is awful. The only game that I can specifically play with the Sega Dreamcast pad is probably Crazy Taxi, and I have to change to Type B driving style with it. I don't know why. I just got started on B, and that was the best one for me. Speaking of Crazy Taxi, we just had to take down our Crazy Taxi video off of YouTube, because if I'm not mistaken, in the credits, I used some of the music from the game, and Sony apparently complained. So, I mean, I can understand they might be a little worried about copyright and stuff, because people abuse that on YouTube, but dude, it's Crazy Taxi. It's a 10-year-old game that it was just like 5 seconds of music in the credits, and I just didn't appreciate that. But for those of you who haven't seen the Crazy Taxi video, I just drove around a little bit in the original for 10 minutes or 5 minutes. I think it was 5 minutes, and showed off my little original skills. But I think my highest score in original is 37,000. Without codes, without using any kind of codes or anything for time, I managed to get 37,000. It took me like 3 hours to do it, but I got it in original with arcade rules. I like playing the Dreamcast stuff now, even though it's old, it's crap.
I still play the Dreamcast. I mean, the only games that, well, even if they did, since I noticed that Sony, I shouldn't say Sony, since Sega start moving a lot of their games that were originally on the Dreamcast to the Xbox 360, I'll still pull out my Dreamcast and still play it on there. It's still the same feel. Although, it does look still as good on an Xbox 360, but the Dreamcast gives off less heat.
I like looking at Soul Calibur on both of them, actually. I'm just scared for my Dreamcast, because it's so old now. I'm just scared it's going to be hurt or something, but yeah, I like watching Soul Calibur on 360, which that tells me right there, if you can port Soul Calibur over to 360, what'd that tell you about 360 design?
Sega designed it for them.
Yeah, that's kind of obvious from the beginning.
Well, other than the similarities of the controllers.
Oh, God.
Even from the original Xbox, the similarity of the controllers. That and the developer saying it's extremely easy to design games for the Microsoft system.
Yeah.
Hence is why you get a bunch of crap on there, because everyone can throw it on there and they have no problem whatsoever.
Yeah.
To me, it sounds the same thing as what they were saying about the Dreamcast. So, I'm thinking, Sega, that you decided you just want to take your name off something and give it to somebody else while you keep making systems.
Yeah, I think Sega wanted to get out of the business, the hardware business, at the time, and that was the best way to do it, and then they just re-entered the console business when Microsoft got into it.
Surprise, Nintendo! We didn't let you know that secret, did we?
Yeah, I miss the days of the console wars with Sega and Nintendo, but I look at the Dreamcast, and the Dreamcast at the time was far superior to the Nintendo 64, and it was like one of the few times that they were actually superior to Nintendo. And I mean, I own both of them, but you know, it was like, come on, Nintendo, look at the Dreamcast, like, look at it. Are y'all, like, seeing this?
They did see it. They said, you have to get discs, and those discs will scratch up. With our cartridge that we're charging you double for,
yeah,
won't ever mess up.
Yeah.
Says the man who's not blowing into his cartridge as he's trying to put it in, hoping it's working.
Yeah, I was like, whatever. But, yeah, I was most impressed with the Dreamcast. Once I bought it, it had a large library at the time, because by the time I bought mine, they'd already announced they were going to discontinue it. So I kind of got a little bit of a discount, and I traded in some stuff to get it, so I don't even remember what I traded in. But I mean, I still have my original Dreamcast, and it still boots up. Gotta set the date like 15 million times, but I mean, whose Dreamcast doesn't have to set a date 15 million times now?
Just the people who's already have it plugged in constantly.
That's true. Well, you know, it gets out of sync, though, after a little while.
But if you keep turning it on periodically, it won't bother.
Yeah. My cables are a little, you know, iffy, but
we can go Radio Shack and get some cables.
Yeah. Yeah, you can.
See that? Not only developers found the system was easy, but even retail stores found the system was easy.
I don't have my Dreamcast hooked up right now, but we did have it hooked up recently, because we did some video for Vampire Chronicles, and I thought about it then. I was like, wow, I really enjoy playing this. I miss my Dreamcast. I miss Sega being in the thick of things like they were. Because you know what? If they had the Dreamcast, because by now Dreamcast 2 would have been out, okay? But if they'd had Dreamcast 2, you know Mad World would have rocked. It would have sold so much on its own standalone system instead of being relying on the Wii.
We wouldn't have had to see Sonic in a Nintendo game.
Yeah, that's kind of creepy. And I'm saying that as a Nintendo fan. That's kind of creepy. I was like, what is that?
All that junk y'all been talking, and all of a sudden, Sonic's now buddy-buddy with Mario?
Yeah, shaking his hand. After you talking about, what is that we got with Nintendo or something? Was that them that had the Nintendo commercial? We do what Nintendo or something like that? I want to say that was somebody else, but I remember them talking junk, just talking all kinds of junk about Nintendo. And Nintendo was like, please, just because you think you got a little fast-running hedgehog don't mean crap. We still got Mario. You don't even understand. Like, you had to go make an animal, a blue animal that runs fast with rings, a.k.a. coins, just to keep up with us. Please. So, it's like people recognize Mario before they recognize Sonic. So, I just remember when they were going back and forth with that, and then I remember when the Dreamcast commercials came out, it was It's Thinking.
It's Thinking.
And
the guy screaming,
Sega! What was hilarious was the commercial that when they first came out and they were supposed to be, you go inside the Dreamcast and they had the club and the dude from Virtua Fighter, I want to say it's Takashi.
I think it was Akira.
No, him and it was the sumo wrestler and Gary Payton. Oh, yeah. Were rapping at the club.
Sonic was the DJ.
And Sonic was the DJ. And Sonic was so fast on the turntables that he was like, "Hey, Sonic, yo, Sonic." He's like, "Oh, my bad." That commercial was so funny. It was actually really funny.
They had great marketing ploys.
Yes.
I don't even want to talk about the NFL quarterback clubs that they had. Not the quarterback clubs. The what's the game? Was it it's not NBA. It wasn't NBA. Crap.
Was it NFL 2K?
They had to have been the NFL 2K when they're showing all the guys just get sandwiched because the guys got the ball. The little kid just get the ball in the middle of the commercial. He just gets the ball.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just falls on top of him.
Yeah, it was NFL 2K, I do believe. Because then the guy turns, the little polygon guy turns to the screen and says, "Hey, kid, what are you doing?" That was really, really smart marketing on their part.
They had some really great commercials then. I don't even want to talk. What was the game with the fish? The guy.
Seaman.
Yeah. On the one about Seaman, when Seaman just looked like he was at the TV himself just talking to you. And then you find out, it was a game. That's just creepy. But Sega had some, their marketing team had great ideas for that.
Yeah. Yeah, I was highly impressed with the Sega brand at that point. And I thought they did an excellent job doing it. It's just they got scared. And I don't know, internally, Sega Japan was doing some really weird things. And Sega of America was kind of like, "Sega Japan, what are you doing?" And then Sega of Japan was like, "Shut up, Sega of America. You in America, shut up." "Y'all clear across the world, shut up. Y'all don't know what y'all supposed to be doing. We running this." I don't know. It was really weird. And I remember when Peter Moore took over, they weren't making money off of the system anymore. And it was like, how do you go from making all kind of money? You got a great marketing strategy. You got good games. Your software is just unbelievable. To all of a sudden, you discontinue it after, 18 months? I was like, what? I don't even understand that.
They were already starting the development for the Xbox.
Well, yes, they were, actually.
They already decided we're going to divert all funds to the Xbox.
And then what made it so bad was, I don't know, most people tend to forget this, but Sega was the one with the Dreamcast that pioneered online gaming. They pioneered it.
Yep.
Everybody else was kind of sitting there twiddling their thumbs trying to figure out how to do it. You know, on a console and do it right. X-Band was notwithstanding on the Super Nintendo and the Genesis. But they had the Sega Channel that was going. They had, with the Dreamcast, they had the web browser. They had the, and they had the web browser application for your Dreamcast. I remember having the Dreamcast Passport. At a friend's house and sitting there looking at it like, "Oh my God, I can game on my Dreamcast if I wanted to." People were playing Phantasy Star Online. And I was like, "What?" Wow, this is going to be hot. Like, everybody's going to be trying to do this. And sure enough, everybody's doing it now. Yes. Okay. Crazy Nintendo. I don't know what Nintendo's doing with that. But crazy Nintendo was standing. Everybody's doing it now. But, and Sega was the first one to push that.
They were the first to start it. Well, most of the people who really jumped onto it all were on the Xbox.
Yeah. Oh,
Which also tells me that Sega had a huge hand in it automatically.
I know Sega was the one told them, "All right, now look, y'all need to get y'all a central hub where people can get in, play together, and they can talk over their little headsets. And they can be like, you know, clear across the world talking to each other." That's what you need to do. I know Sega sat down and told Microsoft that that was the next wave.
Well, Microsoft probably already thinking, you know, we got to get it so people can talk to each other and everything, they can interact. And Sega said, well, we already got it set up. Because all the cable companies and everything had to upgrade so they can play the games online. So, well, we got to set it up. You just have to design everything else. We'll help you out with that.
Yeah.
So, next thing you know, about 15 million people are playing online with Halo.
SegaNet lives on.
I just think it looks like Sega's not making any money now, but I think they're getting money from other places.
Oh, Microsoft has paid them residuals for that.
They probably got a contract with them, paying them constantly for it, to helping them design their systems and everything. Of course, as I said, they got games on every platform, so someone has to pay them every single time.
Yeah. I think where Sega made a mistake was that they just got scared. They really got scared about that emotion engine and the marketing from Sony. I think the marketing from Sony really, really scared them.
I think they just started diverting all their attention to designing the Xbox, because they decided, we're going to take our name off that. Nintendo's going to think they won against Sega. Sony's going to think they won against Sega. Secretly, they haven't beat anybody.
Sony ain't won nothing. I don't understand. Sony didn't win anything. You still had disc read errors. You still had lack of decent stuff at launch. I mean, you got some great stuff on PS2. Don't get me wrong. Metal Gear. I mean, you know, Final Fantasy. That kind of stuff. I mean, you got good stuff. But, Ico, however you pronounce that. Shadow of the Colossus. You God of War. You got some really good stuff. It's just...
That bunch of games are crap.
Yeah. Phantom Vision... I was like, come on, y'all. a fireworks simulator? Seriously. A fireworks simulator.
See, it's designed for everyone to get together, get really, really drunk, and or high. Not that we're saying to get drunk and high.
Oh, we don't promote drugs, children.
But we're just saying, if you're drunk and you're high, you'll want to play that game.
Well, oh, and we can't forget Virtual Fighter 4 and Virtual Fighter 4 Evolution. That was some good stuff.
That was a good game.
That was a really good game. Both of those were really good. And Evolution really capped it off.
It was a good game. They did have some good games, but they had more crap in their launches.
Yeah, now their launch titles was just bad. But
Now, granted, I'm not saying that the Dreamcast had the best launch games either.
Dreamcast launch titles, with the exception of, I want to say Crazy Taxi was a launch title, as was Soul Calibur. I know NFL 2K was, because people were complaining about how they used up their entire VMU for an NFL 2K save. Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, their launch things were kind of bad, but I don't know. Once they got into the...
You didn't have a fireworks simulation.
Yeah, you didn't have no fireworks simulator or nothing. I remember there was a guy I worked with. His name was... what was his name? Started with an A. He was a real nice guy. Moved to Greenville, South Carolina. Worked for Michelin. He was a little bit older than me. He was a real nice guy, but he and I talked about Dreamcast all the time. I was working, and I actually kind of worked for him. And he and I would talk about Dreamcast, because he wanted to get a Dreamcast. He was all up in arms about finally getting one. And that was around about 99, 2000. It was about 2000. And he went out and bought one. And I remember saying to him, you know, dude, that was a smart purchase. That was smart of you. That's a good system. I can't buy one right now because I don't have any money. But I was a poor college student. But, I mean, I look at Dreamcast now and I think, what could have been? You know, I thought it was amazing back then. And like playing it a whole lot. I played a lot of Crazy Taxi. But I don't know. I thought about what could have been, and I don't know, I just was concerned that Sega just let it all go, all because of a few little rumors, unsubstantiated rumors, mind you, rumors on Sony's part, and Nintendo's just sitting back looking at them laughing. Because Nintendo's like, ha 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 ha, we don't have that problem with Sony. Oh, wait, we're still in third place. Crap. We're in third place.
I just think that Sega started looking at the really big picture. While everyone else was looking at the corner of the TV screen about this is what we're producing, I think Sega was already looking at the huge picture and said, you know, we're going to design another system. We're going to put out a system. Our name won't be on it. That's fine. We'll make games. People will think we're only around with our games. Man, we'll be paid double because people are still using the system that we designed. We're getting paid for that. Putting out games. People are going to buy those. And oh yeah, Nintendo, you don't like us? We'll let you sign a contract with the damn thing. You want games, right? You always need developers. We'll put some games out for you. Don't you want Sonic? I know you want Sonic. You want Sonic, don't you?
You're going to get lots of Sonic.
We'll give you Sonic. We'll give you so much Sonic you can't stand on it. Here, have a compilation disc of Sonic.
Hey, Sonic Mega Collection was hot.
Yes, but notice, that's how Sega stayed up with their money.
Oh, yeah. It did not go unnoticed by anyone that Sonic Mega Collection was on, like, every system that was out at the time except for Xbox.
They kept getting money. And they're still releasing those games.
Yeah. Yeah, I bought Sonic Mega Collection after a friend of ours, David, you get a shout out, second week in a row. And when David said, you need to get this right now, I know you a Nintendo head, you need to get this right now, go out right now and buy it. And I went out and bought it. I did, I went out and bought it, and I didn't even really care for, I really didn't care for Sonic that much. So, I mean, Sega got my money in the end anyway, but
Sega produces good, authentic stuff. I should say crack, because you get addicted to something that Sega puts out eventually.
I don't know, man. Yeah, I was addicted to Crazy Taxi there for a while. I played a lot of Crazy Taxi. I don't know if I've mentioned this, but I played a lot of Crazy Taxi.
I played Crazy Taxi in arcade, so
I couldn't play it in the arcade. I could not play it. I could not play it until it came home on Dreamcast. I couldn't use the steering wheel for some reason. Like, I couldn't... There was no way I could really even get the scores. I never even came close to getting the scores in the arcade as I did at home.
I'm gonna tell you.
I don't know why. The steering wheel was probably the stopping point for me. But once I learned how to crazy dash and crazy drift on that Dreamcast controller...
Still can do it at the arcade.
Oh yeah, it's much harder. But once I learned how to do that, man, I was rolling. I went from getting, I remember when I first started playing, I was getting maybe like busting 1,000, maybe, okay. Then I got to the point where I was hitting 5,000. Okay, and that's like an A grade. Then I hit, well no, I think that's an S grade, I think. And then all of a sudden, on original, this is an original, because it took me a longer time to do it in arcade version. But in original version, I went from that 5,000 immediately to like 11,000. I got the awesome license, okay? Then, I just kept playing, and finally, just one day, it just clicked. I hit like 21,000 one time, and I got the crazy license. Then, one day, I know, I put it down for a couple of months and came back to it and busted 35,000. I don't even know how I did it. I was just picking up people, dropping off real quick. And I knew the strategy to picking up, you know, the right types of customers. You pick up a lot of greens. Try to get greens early on. Don't go in the city in the original version. In the original layout for Crazy Taxi, don't go in the city because that'll slow you down. Try to stay on the perimeter and use crazy dashing a lot. You also need to do the glitch at the beginning with the crazy drift, where you can drift and like hang on the wall. that's like $1,000 right there. So, I mean, if you can make $1,000 a minute, you'll get that, you hit that limit within about 20 minutes. I mean, it's harder to do much later, but in the first 10 minutes that you're playing, if you can hit $1,000 a minute, you're doing real good. I don't know. Having played a lot of Crazy Taxi on that system, that's what really drew me into the Dreamcast, I think, to begin with. I was drawn to Crazy Taxi because I'd never seen anything like that. Matter of fact, I think I've only seen maybe 3 Crazy Taxi machines in my life. And I'd never seen anything like Crazy Taxi, and so I was kind of enthralled with it. And then I was like, ooh, they have fighters on this. Oh my god, they have an arcade perfect version of MVC2. I gotta get one of these. So, I don't know. I take that back. I think I spent my final total, my grand total, when I paid for everything for my Dreamcast that day. I think it was like $214 something. I seem to recall it being about $214, and I had me a big old bag. But I don't know. I wish Sega had not messed themselves up like that. I know they live on through the Xbox, but still. I wish they had not done themselves in so stupidly back in the day.
Well, I mean, had it not been for that, we never had a Microsoft system, I guess. Someone secretly jumped into the wars and automatically got to, if not first, and really close up there. I think they probably made the wise choice. I mean, yeah, they not developing as much as in console or anything like that, but I think in the long run, they're still making more money than they're actually putting out.
Yeah, I think they're making more money than people think they are.
So, I think that because they keep designing these different systems and keep putting out games on every platform, that all they're doing is just collecting money. And although they're laughing at everyone in the console wars, because they're out of it, and they're making more money than all of them are.
Yeah, I think they are too, really.
So the only thing I can say about the Dreamcast was, I don't think it failed. I don't think it failed at all. I just think its dream wasn't completely realized to the public yet.
Yeah, I agree. So if you're listening to this and you've heard us ramble on about the Dreamcast there for a little bit, really check out our second quarter 2008 issue where we devoted it solely to the Dreamcast, and we talk about our top 15 games, I think. It's 15. And I did an editor's column on the Dreamcast, and we talked about accessories you need and how to mod your Dreamcast. That's coming up later. Also, we're going to look at how to mod your systems. Just check out that issue. We devoted it to Sega. It was one of our first ones when we first came back from hiatus, from, you know, a couple of years hiatus. But, you definitely check it out, because, I mean, as Dreamcast fans, we love the Dreamcast. There's just, I can't stress to you how much I love the Dreamcast. So, I think this wraps it up for this week. Next week we're looking at possibly talking about Animal Crossing, of all things. There's a couple Animal Crossing addicts that live in this household, myself being the main one. We like Animal Crossing, and we're going to talk about why exactly Animal Crossing is so addictive and how we managed to kick the habit. And that's also going to be a subject of one of our future issues as well, later on next year. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Come back to see us next week.